word says. Amen. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 3? I'll be there in about 20 minutes, all right? This morning on this Father's Day, how many of you remember, years ago, and maybe it's still on in reruns on TV, I don't really know anymore, but there was a program called Lost in Space. Y'all remember that, right? And there was a robot in that, right? Will Robertson and that robot, and then I forget the whatever the other guy's name was. But you remember how the robot, he would start moving his arms. He'd go, warning, warning. Is that right? All right. We're all in agreement then. Amen. Well, that's what this Father's Day message is entitled, Warning, Warning. I don't want, and nor is it my intention or the Holy Spirit's intention, to steal any joy from our fathers this morning. However, there's a very important word that you need to hear. Amen? And because I'll tell you something, we, as we all know, this church, we don't stick our head in the sand. Amen? We live and we see the reality around us. And we live right now, every father, every Christian, all of us, we live in a redefined America. A redefined world, if you will, and we are attempting, if you still have children or grandchildren or whatnot, little boys, little girls, you're trying your best through the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to raise your children in a world that has just been redefined before our very eyes and given, even in our own nation, now an incredible platform for the voice of sin to be approved. So, I mean, this is a challenge to raise children today. I don't know how children, the things that they are faced with today, never before in our lifetime. And so when I look around and I see all these things, let me just start with the bad news, okay? Then I'll get to some good news. The thing is this, dads, you are raising your children, the things that they're facing. I mean, in the internet world, the online influencers and even Planned Parenthood, and they're trying to steal today the children's identity in our nation and around the world. And not only that, it's backed by our own government. And we look at the things that are happening, and now we have today the newest, the absolute most powerful drug in America that they say will help transform a child. Let me give it to you. It says that it will remove depression from your child, it will remove anxiety, and it's called this, a new identity, and a new name, and a new look, and a new beginning from a new gender. That's what your children, that's what this generation is facing. Now, Bill, are you beating up anyone? No. Doesn't your heart break because of these things? My heart breaks. Pastor Thomas and I, we almost started weeping over the things on Friday about the things that are happening going on in our world and the things, fathers, that you are facing with your young children. You know, there is a systematic purging in our nation of absolute truths. Have you ever, remember when dogs, when I had a dog, I had what we called a dog chain. It was a real chain, remember? You know, now it's like a strap or something, and you can let it go, and they can run way over, and then you can reel them in. And I didn't have that one, And so if you have a dog, let me give an example of what's happening. Let's say that as you train your dog on the leash, that chain, let's say you remove a link out of that chain maybe every other week. Well, then all of a sudden, he doesn't know that you've taken a link out. And he realizes that that's as far as he can go. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you do that week after week after week, and the chain gets shorter and shorter and shorter, and the dog doesn't really know what's going on, except he slows down, and all of a sudden he can't move. Does that make sense? Well, that's what's happening right now in our nation. And it's so slowly happening that we don't realize it totally and completely. Because we have become numb and desensitized to so much of the things that are happening. Let me give you an example. Let's look at the horrible, just for a moment, the mass shootings that are taking place just in our public schools and across our nation, the things that are going on. Did you know that America, owns 42% of all the guns in the world. I'm a gun owner, I believe in those things. I'm not saying that I have one on right now, but I do have a Glock for the flock. You know what I'm saying? So, but what I am saying is this. I mean, everything is redefined in my lifetime. Listen, let's talk about guns for a minute. And I've got a lot to cover, and I don't want to take up your time today because it's Father's Day. You know, but here's the deal. When I was growing up, you know, I grew up in out there in Keller in the country when there was only 300 people. And, you know, most of us, we had pickup trucks we drove to high school. Does that make sense? We only wore one kind of blue jean, and we had a gun rack in our trucks, and we would put our shotguns back there, our deer rifles, and during dove season in September when school let out, guess where we went? We had our shotguns. They were there. They were loaded. We went in. Man, we went dove hunting. We never thought about killing people. Are you listening to me? See, we are living in a totally different time. Everything is being redefined. Even the redefined indoctrination in K through 12 in our public schools. The fathers, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you even know what your children are being taught? Now, I'm not saying it to beat you up. I'm saying that to love you. Amen? Oh, listen, you know, I look at the public schools, and if you look at the morals and the attitudes and the decision-making that the public schools, the power that they have, do you know that they guide literally 89% of the decision-making of children in America? 89%. Oh, listen, now, the good news. The world that we live in that has been redefined is not in control. You know what I mean? And we'll never be in control. There is only one in control, and he is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:16, for by him, meaning Jesus, no one else, all things were created that are in heaven and upon the earth, visible, invisible, whether they're thrones, dominions, principalities, all things were created through him and for him. Listen, all things began in our Savior. All things will end with him. He commanded it in the beginning. He'll command it in the end. Amen? And all, listen, history is coming to a close one day. It may be our generation. Ephesians 1:10 says this, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, when the completion of history finally arrives, that he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, everything is going to come under him. It says the things that are in heaven and the things that are on this earth. Now, are you in 2 Timothy? Yes. All right, listen very carefully, fathers. And of course, all of us. Listen, I know with all of my heart what the Bible says right here, that you are raising your children right now in the most perilous times in the history of the world and the history of our nation. So here's the first warning, fathers, and the warning is from God. Listen to it. 2 Timothy 3:1. He says, but know this, that in the what days? The last days, perilous, that word is savage, perilous, savage, fierce times will come. Now I want you to look at this, these words. Know this. That is a command from Paul to Timothy. Now, that command there means this. When Paul said, Timothy, know this by the Spirit of God, that meant this. God is in control. He's in control right now. Amen? Now, listen, God is telling us, all of us, what to expect. He says, in the last days, and we are in the last days, it says here, perilous times will come. That means it is certain. There's no way around it. You see, we're being warned right now because we are living in perilous times. And fathers, listen, that time that we're living in right now means that your children are living in those times. You know, savage times, a lot of people say, oh, we're living in perilous times. $5 gasoline. $5 a gallon, I mean. No, that's not perilous times, you know, or this recession, or I heard someone yesterday, I've just lost 30% in my 401k. Well, that's a tragedy, and it is horrible, whatever we're going through in our nation, but that's not a savage time, loved one. And you know, it's also a savage time here, or this fierce time, or this perilous time. It has nothing to do, loved one, with famine or earthquakes or COVID or monkeypox, whatever that stuff is that's going around. No, there are 19 phrases here that I'm going to be reading to you. And they use these phrases, these 19 phrases, to describe what perilous times are all about. And they're all about people. Now watch, it says in verse 2, it says, for men, people, all mankind, people will be lovers of themselves. Now I'm going to tell you something, that is a true word today, isn't it? This world is so redefined right now, it literally encourages you to love self. Not, the Bible says we're to deny ourselves and follow the Lord, amen? But here, lovers of themselves, man, meaning whatever your lifestyle is, whatever your conduct is, just be a lover of self. Isn't it amazing that the first thing that's always perverted is love? Just throw out the great commandment, you know, one of the scriptures for the foundation of this church, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Your neighbor is yourself. Now, you know, just throw it out the window. So love is first thing perverted. Look at the next one, which we know very well. It says, for men will be lovers of what? Money. Did you know that persecution has never harmed the church? Yes, it's killed a lot of Christians, but it's never destroyed the church. But money and prosperity, just look at it today. Silver and gold have I none, Peter said. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But you know what? We can't say that today because we have the silver and gold. Amen? Yeah, and so what did Jesus, in seven letters to the churches in Revelation, what did he say to the church at Laodicea? In Revelation 3:17, the Lord said this. He said, because you say I'm rich, you become wealthy. You have need of nothing. And listen now, they don't know their true spiritual condition. And Jesus says, and you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Fathers, listen to me. Teach your children about true prosperity. Amen? About true provision. Our true provision is not here. Jesus told us where our true provision is. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, meaning everything that you need in life, will be added unto you. Amen? We're to set our mind on heavenly things, not our set our mind down here on earthly things. Our provision, it comes from our Father in heaven. Amen? He provides all of our needs. Nothing wrong with having money. You know, money's a good thing if as long as it's not your God. You see, money is amoral, isn't it? Does money have a personality? No, but it takes on the personality whoever's wallet it happens to be in. It takes on the personality of the one who has it. So money's not a bad thing at all. And men will be boasters. They will be proud, blasphemers. Now look at the children. Disobedient to parents. Ooh, unthankful, unholy. What a word. Disobedient to parents. Proverbs 30:11 says this. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Well, that generation is now. Isn't it amazing how we label our generations? I've written it down here. We have the baby boomers. I think that's what I am. You know what I mean? If you're 40, isn't that what that means? The baby boomers. Then you have Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z. You have the millennials. And now the newest one, Generation Alpha. That's from 2013 to 2025. But today, the one they left out is the un-generation. The ones that are unloving, you follow me? It says, right here, it says unthankful. That's talking about children. Isn't it sad when children are unthankful? You know what I mean? And you know what? I understand how we do spoil our children. We give them too many things. You know, I mean, I went into a home one time and the entire living room was solid toys. Oh, yeah. I just said, can I have those? I can give them out at Christmas. Think about that. You know, we live here in a nation where we have everything, except right now we don't have any baby food or whatever and else, the rest of the stuff, and now the meat shortage, and who cares? Amen. I'm not looking to the world to help me. I know that God, listen, God will get a raven to fly bread and meat into you if he has to. Amen? That's right. He's not going to ever leave you, never forsake you. He's never going to relax his hold upon you. He is our Father in heaven, and he loves us. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we'll always, everything is going to be smooth sailing. But we don't want unthankful children, and we live in a generation of unthankful children. Not only that, they're unholy. Gosh, think about that. No regard for God, no regard for the things of the Lord. They're unloving. That means without natural family affection. We today, you know, everything is so changed, and I know that, it is depressing, and that's not my goal this morning or God's goal either. But my, how things have changed. I mean, children murdering children, parents murdering children murdering parents. I mean, we start thinking about all those things. They're unloving, they're unforgiving, that meaning they refuse to reconcile with anyone. They're slanderers. Boy, that should be posted on Facebook. Facebook, amen. Keep going. Without self-control. Would you say the world is out of control? You can't have control unless you're with Jesus Christ, amen? Brutal. Now, there's that word. Did you know that word in the Greek refers to absolute savagery? In other words, it's talking about people that are so overwhelming, violent and filled with violence in their heart. They are brutal. They're heartless. They're sex traffickers. Children, you know what I mean? They traffic children. It's just horrible, the things. And it says they despise good. They don't like anything good. It says they're traitors. They're headstrong, haughty, meaning that they're conceited or drunk with pride. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Fathers, listen to me. This is the world that your family and your children and me and all of us, that's the world that we are living in. Amen? Right now. But did you know it has also infiltrated into the church? And the reason I say that is because of verse 5. These characteristic traits that I just read to you, they will be and are right now the mindset of the apostate church. And the reason I say that, again, verse 5. It says all these characteristics. Now, it says having a form or an outer form, if you will, of godliness. But watch this. But denying its power. Denying the power, the dunamis, that's what that word is. And Paul says, from such people do what? There's no tolerance. He says, turn away from those kind of people. Listen, it is sad to say that right now, in this redefined world that we're living in, that right this very moment, the redefined church is growing. And it's characterized by the traits I just mentioned in here. And they have a form of godliness, but they have no power. Why? Because they have watered down the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what's happened, especially in our nation. Listen to me. Christianity is supernatural. The gospel is power. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jew, or whoever believes, amen, unto the Jew first, and to the Gentile. Man, it's the power of God, the gospel of Christ. Amen? That's what's wrong today. It's being watered down. Listen, fathers, you have the facts. Your family right now is living in an angry, out of control generation. I have never seen such disrespect and anger. Just get on the freeways. Amen? Everybody's mad. I mean, you can't go downtown and they're mad. I even had I went out and had dinner, she was mad at me, and I don't even know why. Everybody is upset. I'm going to ask you a question on this out of control situation that we live in today. Why would a just turned 18-year-old boy who just graduated go and buy an AK-47 and walk into the school down at Uvalde, the elementary school, and massacre 19 children and 2 adults? Why would that? Why did that happen? Phyllis Schlafly, in her book that I read not too long ago, Who Killed the American Family, here's what she said. The average American boy spends 13 hours a week playing video games. And some are realistic games that teach them to become killers, sadists, mutilators, and monsters who murder, torture, dismember, and rape. Also, the average high school boy and girl watches 2 hours of porn a week. Do you see what I'm saying? Did you hear what they just said? Human Life International, just the latest poll. A survey of almost 4,000 children aged between 8 and 13, here's what they found, that 43% are speaking to strangers online, with a third of them speaking to strangers every day or at least once a week. You know, parents, listen. I know that you have set safeguards if your children have iPhones or whatnot. And I know that there's something, I mean, to give a child a phone and you know that they're safe, you can track them. Man, you can, if there's a problem, they can call you instantly. That is an incredible security feature, isn't it? Or the computer. But the fact of the matter is, it is a world of good, but it's a greater world of wickedness and evil. You know, you follow me? Oh, listen, Common Sense Media, this just came out. More than half of American children own a smartphone by age 11. By the time they turn 8, 1 in 5 own a cell phone. Now, listen, cell phones or a personal computer or whatnot, you know what they can do? And in the majority of the time, in homes that are not godly, in homes that are not where the father, mother doesn't supervise, a child would rather be on, a teenager even, on their iPhone in their bedroom than be in there talking to friends or whatever they do than be with their family. See, it isolates you. Listen, I went to the doctor's office 2 weeks ago, and I had to go in. You know, you go to the waiting room and you wait for about 2 days, and then you finally get in, right? Well, so here I am, and I'm in this waiting room, and it's packed, and I did wait a long time. And I am the youngest person. Now, you all know I'm over 70, okay? I am the youngest person in the doctor's office, the youngest. Everyone in that office had their cell phone out, and they were all looking down. And I wanted to talk to somebody. I nearly went over and interrupted someone, but I'm afraid they might slap me or something, you know? Think about that. Everyone in the doctor's office, and they're all older than me. Think about that, and then think about our kids. Amen? So those are the things, fathers, that we have to be careful about. I want to read an excerpt from Dr. Mark Rutland, an incredible expositor of God's Word, a man I respect. And I have, matter of fact, I had lunch with him about 20-some-odd years ago. And just not me, but a bunch of us. Great man of God. He's the president now, or has been, of two Christian universities. He said this. He said, the downward spiral toward wrath and anger is accelerating. Mechanical coldness of society that is now in love with its own machines, teenagers and children who sit in front of a cold-eye, cold-blooded, unresponsive video game hour after hour, not entertaining themselves, listen to what he says, but seeking relationship. That broke my heart when I read that. Increasing secularization of our society and resulting in increased sense of isolation, which will finally give way to a loss of reality, and necessary result is anger. Uncontrollable, uncontrolled, fearful, inadequate anger, and the payback of our independent spirit. We have shaken our fist in the face of heaven and said, we will make ourselves gods. And the result is a catastrophic, horrifying descent into the bowels of anger. He wrote or said that 20 years ago. 20 years ago. That's a prophetic word, isn't it? And that's where we are even right now. So parents, fathers, do you know if you have your kids on the phone, do you know what they're doing? Are you protecting it? That's what a father does. Amen? That's the first warning. Now the second warning. Now, you are raising your children, believe it or not, as it was in the days of Noah. Did you know there's a thing we call progressive revelation in the Bible? In other words, there's Adam had a tremendous revelation of the garden and so forth. Amen? Then he was removed from the garden. And then those that were born after him, he could, of course, give them information. But as it progressed, there was more revelation given. Does that make sense? In other words, from Abraham into Isaac and Jacob and so forth, Solomon and King David and the prophets and so forth. But they didn't live in the days of Noah. But we live in the days of Noah. Matthew chapter 24, would you turn there with me? And look at verse 36. This is a warning from our Lord, okay? Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also, so past tense to present tense, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Who did not know. In other words, they did know. They had Noah warned them? Yes, but they were untouched by God's truth. We cannot today, parents, fathers, Christian, we cannot be untouched by the truth of God's word. Amen? It took them all the way back then into a godless eternity. Listen, to them, it was just another day. To them, the pre-flood people, it was just another day. It was business as normal. They were eating, they were drinking, Jesus said, marrying, and so forth. But see, they were warned, but they were indifferent about that. They watched Noah, who they probably thought was a madman, building an ark, and they didn't know what an ark was, on dry ground. For 120 years, and they missed the only thing that could save them. Listen, Jesus goes on in verse 40, and he says, okay, two men will be in the field. One will be taken, other will left. Two women, they'll be grinding at the mill. One taken, one left. Verse 42, which is a command, imperative in the Greek. It says, watch, or keep on watching. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Do we know when the rapture is going to occur? Well, some people think they write books about it, but no, we don't know. But if, let's say that we went into the Great Tribulation period, would we know when the Lord was going to return? Yes. He says, you don't know, but know this. He says that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, Jesus says, you also be ready, meaning at all times be ready. Why? For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. It's going to be suddenly, isn't it? It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye, the catching away of the church. Noah, the father, he lived with the last generation before the wrath of God was poured out. And you know what Jesus said about what I just read to you? He opens up over in chapter 24, verse 32. I want you to learn what I just said. He says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. And he goes on and so forth. And he says, and know this, that when summer is near, so also when you see these things, know that it is near at the doors. So Jesus said, I want you to learn about what I just read to you right now. Listen, what did Noah, the father, what did Noah do? Let me give you a scripture, and we're going to come back at the end in just a minute, but let me give it to you. In Hebrews 11, 7, it says, by faith, Noah, this is what he did, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, here it comes, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, for the saving of his wife, for the saving of his children and his children's wives. 8 people. Do you follow me? He saved them. because he obeyed God. And it says, which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Fathers, that's what Noah did. I want you to listen to me now about this warning. The similarities of Noah's day and our day are overwhelmingly, but it's sobering, if you know what I mean. Now, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles with me again. I know we're turning more than we ever do, but turn to Genesis chapter 6. You can't miss it. It's the first book of the Bible. And let's begin in verse 4. And I'm going to read quickly. But there were giants on the earth in those days. Giants, the Nephilim, okay, meaning the fallen ones, meaning the fallen angels, if you will. It says, there were giants on the earth in those days, and afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bore children to them. These were mighty men of old and men of renown. And then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. How long? Continually. Now listen to me. That was Noah's world. Noah's world. Every person on earth, it says, whose every thought was evil. Let me read the amplified version of that. It says, every imagination, every intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Now that is what you call an evil world. Man, listen, it was so corrupt, the only remedy was to destroy it. Look at verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that he made the earth, and he grieved in his heart. And so the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the birds of the air. I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah, this is past tense now, Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now watch. The earth was corrupt before God. That word means it was putrid. It was perverted. That's a strong word in the Hebrew. It was destroyed, if you will. He says the earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence, that lust for power. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed, there's that word again, it was corrupt. Watch this. Not only was it corrupt, all flesh had corrupted their way. All flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of flesh, all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. And so he says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood and make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Now listen, you know the story there. I don't need to tell you the whole story of him, how Noah built the ark. I mean, my gosh, it's incredible. The ark is literally a box, okay? It was 450 feet long, 75 feet high, and it had 45 feet high and 75 feet wide. Now, so I don't want to tell you about the details of the first migration. Man, all the animals going into the ark, was that cool? Of course, we know chickens didn't go in because Noah doesn't like foul language. So, Mario, don't ever give me that joke again. You know, he gives me my jokes, all right? Now, go to Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did all that God commanded him, so he did, and he did it all by faith. Genesis 7:1. And the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. The Lord was in the ark with him. Amen. And he says, and all your household, all your children, fathers, are you listening? Because I've seen that you're righteous before me in this generation. Now, fathers, listen. The period, the reason I read those two verses, the period between 6:22 and 7:1, those chapters, now listen, it's amazing, is actually over 100 years. God spoke to Noah, if you count them, seven times there in Genesis, okay? But this time here, the seventh time, loved one, listen, Noah didn't hear anything from God for all over 100 years. Matter of fact, Noah worked for 120 years on one thing, an ark. He had absolutely no proof yet, no evidence of what God had told him. There's going to be a flood that's coming. He's going to destroy all mankind. Only you and your household are going to be saved. He had nothing. He worked and labored for 120 years, and he waited for the Lord. And after a century of silence, then God spoke to him, "Come into the ark." And thus Noah did. Now listen, Noah acted on one single command from God for over 100 years. Is that incredible faith? That's the most incredible faith I've ever seen. Can you imagine going over to that gopher wood tree? And the moment he laid his axe into it was one of the greatest acts of faith found anywhere in Scripture. Now, with all of that being said, I want you to turn in your Bibles now to the last time we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And it starts off and it shows us now what Noah did, Noah the father. It says in Hebrews 11, 7, by faith, say that with me, by faith Noah, being divinely warned, there's that word, warned, of things not yet seen. It says by faith. Fathers, do you teach your kids about faith? I pray that you do. Are you teaching them, like it says in Hebrews 11, 6, that it is impossible to please God without faith? For he who comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, teach them about faith and how God, the God who cannot lie. So Noah was warned about these things that had never happened before on earth. Now, would that take faith? Come on, guys. Man, listen, I mean, had Noah ever seen a global catastrophe? No. I mean, had he ever seen an ark? Did he even know what an ark was? No, he just followed God's instruction. Listen, Noah had never felt one drop of rain. Do you understand? Matter of fact, Bill, no, you know, Genesis 2:5, it says the Lord had not caused it to rain on earth yet. It says that all the vegetation, a mist came up from the earth and watered it. So there was no rain. There was no rainbow. Are you following me? There was that canopy over there in the old world before Noah goes into the new world. So he had never seen any of those things. He had never heard of a flood. He had never seen a flood. He had never seen a Democrat or a Republican or any of those things. Do you understand? And so by faith, what does Noah do? He sees the invisible. By faith, he sees the future. By faith, he sees what the world cannot see. All those millions of people that were there, they didn't see it, but Noah saw it. Noah was warned, divinely warned by God, things that have never occurred on earth, and he had never seen those things before they ever happened. Fathers, this morning you're being warned. You just have been warned about the perilous times that we live in. Amen? Now you've been warned about what it's like in the days of Noah, so it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man, our Savior. So here's the thing. You're like Noah. You're building an ark, or you're building a home, a place of safety for your family. And there are only two ways for any person on earth to build their home, whether they're saved or unsaved. There's only two ways. A person is either going to build their home on sand or on the rock. Jesus said this. He says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house, his home, his family on the what? On the rock. And the storms of life came and the winds that blew in and tried to destroy the family and so forth. But did that house fall? No. Why? It was founded on these sayings of mine, the Word of God." Amen? Meaning that you believe them and you did them. You heard them, you do them. "But he who built his house on sand, I will liken him unto a foolish man." In the storms of life, the same storms, identical, they came. And boy, when they hit that house and that family and those children, there were all those iPhones and all those things, junk. They fell apart. it destroyed them. There's only one way to build your home, and that is Jesus Christ. And your home needs to be an ark. It needs to be a place of safety. It needs to be a place where God is already inside. Remember, inside, he says, come into the ark, God said to the family. He's already there. Your house needs to be that way today. Warning, warning. Oh, loved one, listen. Don't ever take those kind of things for granted. Oh, the Bible tells us in Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage, are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, meaning a reward to you from God the Father. It says in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger. That word provoke means what comes out of your mouth. Don't use words to hurt your children. Amen. He says, but bring them up, nourish them to maturity, and in training or discipline and admonition. That means to encourage and to instruct with them with the word of God. And it says, and do it of the Lord. That's the key to it all. You know, the thing is, dads, I would have given anything to have grown up in a godly home. I mean, I didn't. And it was a horrible home. Horrible. It was a terrible home. But I didn't know how terrible it was until I got older. Does that make sense? See, little kids, they don't know. They love their mommy. They love their daddy no matter what they do, whether they're there or not. You know, fathers, your home needs to be the ark, and it begins with you. You have a God-given role. I pray that you're not neglecting the preparing of your household for the Lord. I know this, children are the most impressionable and believing people in the world, aren't they? They come into this world with empty minds. Don't let the world fill it. Don't let the internet fill it. Don't let the iPhone junk and the filth and the crap get into their little hearts or minds, amen? Don't let that happen. No. You fill their minds with good things, with the word of the living God, with God's truth. You help them to renew their minds. You teach them to pray. You teach them about the Bible. That doesn't mean you have to spend an hour, 3 hours every night doing that, but you have a little devotional. You can make it fun, amen? You can go outside and say, look at the stars or something, and say, do you know what? Did you know that God took Abraham outside one day, one night, and said, Abraham, look up at the stars. He says, now, if you can count them, so shall you, the sand, your heritage be, this, your children, your seed shall be. I don't think Abraham, well, just a minute, one, two. But then if you have a little one, you can go, let's see how many we can count. Do you understand? The Bible is a living book. There's so many ways to teach your children. Their minds need to be filled with your love and your guidance. That's what you're to do. And I say, oh Lord, you're so good. Listen, it says by faith Noah prepared an ark. It took him 120 years. He was called, the Bible says in Peter, he was a preacher of righteousness. Do you think as he preached for all those years, did anybody listen? He didn't have one convert. Hello? Not only that, do you think he was made fun of? Do you think he was mocked? Of course. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What is an ark? I have no idea. Well, there's a flood coming. How do you know that? God told me. He said, oh, God says a flood. What's a flood? I don't really know. He says he's going to destroy everything, even the little insects and the birds. Everything's going to just, you know, and I'm going to take some animals in the ark with me. Two by two, they're going to go. Even creeping things are going to go. Really? Really? Do you think he wasn't mocked? Fathers, let me tell you something. When you do what's right by your kids, maybe you prevent certain activities. Maybe you won't let them watch certain things. Thank God. You know what? People are going to mock you. Or when you won't say, when they won't go to this certain thing, you won't let them go with their buddies or whatnot, or you know, or their girlfriends or whatever. And you say, no, I'm not doing that. And people will mock you. But do you really care? No, I only care what God thinks. Amen. And I say, oh Lord, listen. You, like Noah, you're stepping out. And we are to learn, fathers, from Noah. Now listen to me. Noah was the only believing father on the earth. Can you believe that? He was the only believing father on the earth. And you know what I like about Noah? I'm going to give you three, four things now. Number one, Noah the father, he did not allow, for 120 years now, he did not allow the majority to shape his thinking or shake his faith. What a great word. Amen. He stood the ground. Number two, Noah the father believed the voice of God over the voice of millions. Think about that. He stood his ground. Noah the father, number three, prepared the only place of safety on planet Earth. That, does that not blow you away? And not only that, look at the last part here, by which he, Noah the dad, condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now listen, one believing father. Believe the voice of God. Put the entire world in the wrong. What incredible legacy he left his kids. I mean, they and his kids, Shem, Ham, and Jacob, and their wives, and his own wife. Your father believed God's word, and he stood his ground. He did not move. You know what? Noah was the only person that was right on the face of the earth. And when it was over with, there was only one thing visible floating on this planet. It was an ark. And they were in it. And they were saved from the judgment that God poured out during the pre-flood people. Are you all with me? And I say, oh, Lord. You know something? The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Not our fighting, not our begging God, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen, for the pre-flood people, it was too late. How many doors in the ark? Just one, and God had shut it. Amen? There's only one door. Jesus is the door. Amen? Amen? No other way to go to heaven. Only Jesus. Only one way to be saved. Only Jesus. Can you imagine shutting that door? God shut them in. And all those people out there, they were probably screaming, Noah, open the door. He can't open it. How many wives do you think looked at their husbands and their children and said, I thought you said Noah was a nut. You follow me? The whole world was destroyed. Two warnings from God, men, fathers, perilous times and as the days of Noah. I want to say one more thing and then this happy Father's Day. Noah and his children and his wife saw both worlds. Amen? The world that perished and the new world, which is brand new. Brand new. Oh, man, listen to me now. I want you to think of this. There was only one structure on that entire, on the entire planet. It was on top of Mount Ararat. It was the ark. Think of that. Man, and not only that, he prepared his household. He took his family. He prepared the place of safety. And he took his family, his children, from one place to his new place, the new home. That's what you do, fathers. You're preparing your children and your family to take them from this place here, which is not our home, to our true home. Amen. Amen. Father, we praise you for this day. And I pray over every father right now. I pray over every man who will become a father. I pray for our children. I pray for every mother and every woman. Those on the radio now, those that are listening live, and those that are here, I pray over them. Lord God, let these warnings come alive in their hearts. And if there's anyone here this morning that they've not walked through the door, which is Jesus Christ, you know what you can do right now, right where you're sitting? You don't have to come to this altar. You can say, Father, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? Jesus, would you be my Lord? If you believe that and confess that and believe it in your heart, and you know what the Bible says? God says, I'll save you. That's all you have to do. Isn't that amazing? Father, we praise you today. And Lord, happy Father's Day to you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? God is good. I pray that you have a great rest of the day. You know, burgers or whatever you do, and go see Top Gun, I don't know. But have a great day. I love you dearly. I love this church. You know, if you're visiting with us for the very first time, I'm going to depart over to the main lobby there. There's a welcome center there. They have a free gift that they'd love to give you, and I'd love to meet you as well. Jesse's going to close us out with song, and when the song is over, there'll be people down front. If you have a need, they'll pray with you and for you. Boy, I'm thankful. Amen. I'm just thankful. In Jesus' name. God.